regarding the relation between a political decisions, namely elections, and the reappearance of Imam As, and also, as you said, awaiting or intizar for the reappearance of Imam As. It was very kind of you.
Yeah.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstudy.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode of the program, The Last Savior. God bless you all. Fi aman Allah. Where is the rising sun?
Tonight on Exposé, Western and Israeli entity broadcast media falsely claim that Zionist Israeli warplanes targeted weapon depots belonging to Hezbollah in South Lebanon when in reality they targeted residential areas. Now, Zionist mainstream media deceitfully claim that the Islamic Republic of Iran cautioned Hezbollah not to spark full-scale war with Zionist Israel, when in reality, U.S. media openly reported that a large-scale Israeli entity campaign against Hezbollah is the last thing the U.S. wants right now. And an opinion poll revealed that 90% of the Lebanese hold the United States of America fully accountable for Zionist Israel's continued attacks on Lebanon and the Gaza Strip. Welcome to Exposé, the show that leaves no stone unturned. Relentless effort is what we are seeing from the Israeli occupation regime to conceal its army's daily losses, restrict information related to its soldiers, and continue spreading media fabrications concerning the Lebanese Islamic Resistance Hezbollah's advances on the northern front with Lebanon. Let us hear from Fuad Itayim, our broadcast expert and writer at The Cradle, for more about it in Fake News Exposé. Thank you for being with us, Fuad. Now, if you follow closely Western and Israeli entity media, you find numerous news reports expressing confusion and loss when reporting about South Lebanon and the open front with the Lebanese resistance, Hezbollah. Now, Fuad, if you can help us out here with what kind of strategy is that is being used by the Zionist media or the Western media, for that matter, when reporting about this open conflict with the Lebanese resistance on the northern border with Palestine.
Yeah, so the main strategy is and always has been portraying Lebanon as a terrorist stronghold. So Let's begin with how the open front in South Lebanon is rarely ever reported on in Western media. Mm-hmm. And when it is, they fail to mention that Israel is actually targeting residential areas, industrial sites that have nothing to do with Hezbollah. So our first report for today is a Wall Street Journal report, which basically implies that Israel targeted a weapons depot belonging to Hezbollah in the town of Ghaziyeh near Saida, which is like 30 kilometers away from Beirut. Before we see what the Zionists really targeted, let's take a look at some other similar reports by The Sun and by TBN News. So here The Sun claims that Hezbollah terror cells were taken out in Israeli strikes. But it's clear from the Israeli army footage that's provided that these are residential areas because you can see the homes.
You could see, even if you don't know the area, Fuad, that it is a residential area. And you could see the mosque at the end of the footage as well.
And the color of the rooftops of the homes, it's clearly a residential area. So the next one, we have TBN News claiming that Israel targeted Hezbollah's vast underground tunnel network, which they claim has been built with the help of the North Koreans. Now, Western and Hebrew media has been reporting on this a lot lately, but honestly, we don't really know where they got any of it from.
So you're telling me that Hezbollah has built tunnels in South Lebanon with the help of North Korea, and they have footage to show us this?
That's what they're claiming.
For more than 30 years, Hezbollah has dug hundreds of kilometers of tunnels through the stone bedrock in southern Lebanon. Some of these tunnels are 40 to 80 meters deep, cut and developed with the help of North Korean technology. Published a report this week giving some details of this problem. This included an assessment that the tunnels were so extensive that if some of them were blown up, it could cause an earthquake and possibly landslides. This would lead to a humanitarian disaster, which Hezbollah would no doubt exploit to its own advantage. Began as early as the 1980s, but gained momentum in the late 1990s as a possibility of an Israeli invasion loomed larger in the minds of Hezbollah's leadership. The report goes on to say that Israel dropped bombs in southern Lebanon in order to burn the vegetation and discover the tunnel openings. 12 such openings were discovered using this method, which is entirely legal under international law, by the way. These tunnel openings were subsequently bombed and will not be available.
That is beyond, hysterical, because even, let's say, Hezbollah actually has tunnels for it underground. We as southerners have never heard them dig tunnels. Second, what kind of a footage? They didn't say where they got that footage from. I'm pretty sure that's not a Hezbollah prison.
And of course, they have to use CGI because there's
exactly,
nothing
exactly, building
they
can that
use.
Tunnel. And the thing that really caught my eye at the end when he said that Israel was using weapons that is internationally allowed, but they literally showed us white phosphorus,
yeah,
which is internationally banned from being used even in war times. And that tells a lot about even the theory or the hypothesis that there are tunnels which they weren't even able to cross and investigate to begin with. I mean, 100%. That's fake news, isn't it?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. So it's completely unfounded. Mm-hmm. Now back to the Ghaziyya strike. Mm-hmm. So not 30 minutes after the strike happened, Lebanese media was at the scene of the bombing, and they were talking to the owner of the electrical generator company that Israel claimed was a weapons depot for Hezbollah that they destroyed. Mm-hmm. And the guy is from the town that was hit, and he tells them that these claims that this was a weapons depot are outright Zionist lies.
Mm-hmm. So we have the Zionist lies, just like the TPN, which is a Zionist Israeli entity channel that says
exactly.
That it is legitimate to strike even residential areas. And then you have the actual owner of that privately owned company saying that it is not. That's very interesting to see. And I didn't see any of that on any Western media, for that matter, or Zionist media. The biggest evidence by seeing the man who owns the generator company, Mohammed Layla, saying that the media, whether it's local or Western, is more than welcome to come and investigate and inspect the area to see that it is actually a privately owned company.
Definitely.
In the area hit in Ghaziyya. Thank you very much, Fuad,
for
the extensive investigative reports and your analysis for this. Ladies and gents, now we move on to digital mainstream media. Now, the Hebrew media coverage of the ongoing fighting on the northern Palestinian front between Zionist Israel and the Lebanese Islamic Resistance Hezbollah over the course of 20 weeks, coinciding with the war on Gaza, indicates that the picture portrayed by the Western and Zionist Israeli mainstream media is very limited, and its margins are narrow to the point of being almost non-existent, as it is detailed to the scale of a military sensor. With us is Ms. Julia Qasim, our mainstream media expert, to tell us more about this. Thank you for your efforts, Julia, with us every week. What do you have for us today?
Thank you, Marwa, for having me. The complete lack of coverage by both Zionist Israeli media and Western mainstream media on the situation in the north of occupied Palestine is heavily based on a complete gag order that the Zionist occupation military has put on both media alike. Mm-hmm. And this gag order is essentially based on three specific prohibitions. Mm-hmm. The prohibition from approaching the borders, the prohibition from filming soldiers, and the complete prohibition from filming locations and vehicles. Mm-hmm. So the result of these prohibitions is that it's made the image non-existent in Hebrew media outlets. But the shocking part is even information seems to be non-existent. Mm-hmm. So in many cases, the Israeli occupation army itself delays announcing Hezbollah's rocket attacks, as Hezbollah themselves have published very clear information on their operation, mm-hmm. resistance operations.
We do actually see those reports, even video reports about it every now and then, and specifically every day now, since over the past month, I think, of the operations that resistance is doing against the Zionist entity.
Yeah. You could see the juxtaposition in the consistent reports and the footage that Hezbollah has been showing of its operations against Zionist sites mm-hmm. from day one, in contrast to the Zionist entity's claims that they're hitting Hezbollah mm-hmm. sites on grainy footage and the reality of them just hitting civilian areas or open fields. Mm-hmm. So, for example, the Times of Israel published a report supposedly inspired by the Washington Post that Iran cautioned Hezbollah to not spark a full-scale war with Israel, claiming that the Islamic Republic fears risking alleged gains it believes it had made in the region since the October 7 Al-Aqsa flood operation in the Gaza enclave. Mm-hmm. So according to the Times of Israel, Iranian representatives told Hezbollah officials on their last visit that Netanyahu is squeezed in the corner now and Hezbollah should not give him a way out by launching a wider war because this would make him a winner. Mm-hmm. I keep in mind this dialogue was completely made up. Mm-hmm. So just 24 hours after the last Iranian-Hezbollah meeting, according to Zionist media itself, not even announced by the resistance yet, that Hezbollah had killed a female Israeli soldier and injured eight other soldiers in the rocket attack targeting Israeli military bases in the occupied city of Safed in the Upper Galilee in northern occupied Palestine. Mm-hmm. So even the Zionist Israeli Minister of National Security, Itamar Ben-Gvir, mm-hmm. Considered this an actual war waged by Hezbollah against Israel.
Mm-hmm. Well, talk about being so late to talk about this war. It's been going on for the past 20 weeks. I mean, Ben-Gvir is a delusional man, but I think you have more for us on what mainstream media was talking about concerning the lies about the front between Lebanon and Zionist Israel.
So in addition to that, Marwa, the Chicago Tribune published an opinion piece by Daniel De Petraeus. Uh-huh. So with the title, A War Between Hezbollah and Israel is the Last Thing the U.S. Wants. So in his piece, Petraeus claims that, I quote, a large-scale Israeli campaign against Hezbollah, even if it were warranted, is the last thing the U.S. wants right now. So he also claims that the Biden administration has invested significant diplomatic capital into containing the fighting to Gaza and preventing it from spreading to other fault lines in the Middle East, reminding us that Austin, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, CIA Director William Burns, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs CQ Brown Jr., and President Joe Biden himself have all flown to the region in hopes of tamping down the flames of war.
Well, thank you very much, Ms. Julia Qasim, for being with us and telling us about how mainstream media, whether in the West or in Zionist Israel, was reporting about this front. Now, ladies and gents, let us move on to social media expose. Well, Western and Zionist media were able to run from the responsibility of truthfully reporting about the reality on the ground in South Lebanon, facing the resistance of the Lebanese resistance Hezbollah, but they were not able to hide from social media users who opted to expose their lies and, in specific, the concealment of damage caused by the strikes of the resistance in northern Palestine in specific. Now, with us today is our own social media expert, Ms. Seema Itayim, who is also an editor at The Cradle, to showcase how social media reacted to the lies of Western and Zionist media. The floor is all yours, Seema.
Thank you, Marwa. Well, regarding the Zionist strike that took place last week, just 30 kilometers away from the Lebanese capital, Beirut, mm-hmm. in Saida, southern Lebanon, in the town of Ghaziyeh, mm-hmm. Users on social media were split between those who condemned this blatant attack on a residential area, a private-owned company in a residential area, mm-hmm. and then there were others who ridiculed the video that was released by the Israeli occupation forces on their official media, mm-hmm. attempting to justify why they carried out this attack to mm-hmm. begin with.
So
Sima, I don't know whether to laugh or not, because it was a very tough target on the residents of Ghaziyeh, but I mean, they are opting to give excuses and pretexts for their targeting. Literally, this is the streets in 70% of Lebanese areas and neighborhoods.
Exactly. Actually, a tweet by War Monitor, a renowned account that we all know, on X, it perfectly describes this video. So War Monitor says, the Zionist terrorist proof that they struck a Hezbollah target in the Ghaziyeh area of Lebanon yesterday is flags and posters. While knowing there are thousands and thousands of these flags and posters across the south, pretty much on every single street.
That's the truth.
It is.
And it's so funny for me, because if this is what kind of propaganda the Zionist entity shows its people, it's like, I mean, sorry, that's a B-rated movie from Bollywood, not even Hollywood.
We shouldn't be surprised. I mean, everything is proof of a stronghold now.
Yeah, so, sorry for that.
And as usual, you know, you have the regular Zionist accounts who always blame the victim just for merely existing. Hence why the Zionist regime had no choice but to target and kill them.
Sorry, we existed, Zionist Israel, so go ahead, kill us.
Anything is proof. So another tweet, a disdainful post on X by Ron M, whose handle is at Jewtastic, sharing a video mix taken by a man from his balcony and another by university students who are returning home in a minivan at the end of their day, just as the airstrike took place, and they filmed it in horror.
So this was actually given a evidence of being is okay to hit? I mean, is this a reality pretext for hitting residential areas?
So he captioned this video by saying, Hezbollah have turned South Lebanon into a terrorist fortress, into Gaza. These are IDF strikes on Hezbollah terrorist sites in residential zones. Look at the massive secondary explosions as rockets and ammo explode. Look at the destruction Hezbollah will bring to Lebanon soon.
Wow.
Mind you, the Lebanese authorities' investigation concluded that both strikes targeted a privately owned motor generator manufacturing company and a wholesale tires company in Ghaziyeh. Yet for no reason other than wanting to be intentionally dishonest, Ron M. claimed that it was a weapons depot and that rockets were flying, not that bombs were being dropped from F-16 fighter jets.
I didn't see any rockets being fired or flown from the explosion site. Where did he see those? I mean, it's like blatant lying and the audacity of this hypocrisy.
Right, so he just described the impact as, you know, the impact was big, so it must be that they actually hit a depot because there's impact. And yes, according to him, weapons were there. And then there were anti-Zionist accounts, on the other hand, who pointed out the risk that the Zionist regime is taking by deliberately striking civilian areas in Lebanon. Like Daniel F. Prinsloo, who shared a video of the Ghaziyeh strike and said, Israel is now entering the phase where with confidence I can say they will be destroyed. These attacks in Lebanon are to allow a ground invasion by the IDF into Lebanon. Hezbollah is an organized and well-trained military. I am glad Israel's arrogance led to this. Israel's destruction will begin once they enter Lebanon. By these actions, Israel will lose northern Israel.
Well, thank you very much, Ms. Sima Itayim, for being with us and giving us the latest from how X was reacting to targeting residential areas in South Lebanon. Now, ladies and gents, we move to Figures Exposé. Now, an opinion poll revealed that 90% of the Lebanese hold the United States accountable for Zionist Israel's continued attacks on Lebanon and the Gaza Strip. A survey conducted by the Consultative Center for Studies and Documentation, a Beirut-based research institution on strategic and development studies, was conducted 4 months into the Zionist aggression on Gaza and included a sample of 400 people from various Lebanese sects and regions. When asked of the United States of America is the main reason behind the continued escalation and the failure to end the Israeli aggression, the poll found that across all sectors of Lebanon, 94% of Shias agreed, 92.4% of Sunnis agreed, 83.8% of Christians agreed, and 92.9% of the Druze sect agreed. The poll also found that two-thirds of those polled agreed that the Islamic resistance in Lebanon, Hezbollah, takes into account Lebanon's national interests in its support for the Palestinian people. Now, according to the poll, around 60% believe that Hezbollah's demonstration of strength would deter the Zionist Israeli entity from carrying out a comprehensive war against Lebanon. Now, let us move on to the most notable exposé voices for this week. You can find anything you want on TikTok, any commentary about any topic in the world on Instagram, Facebook, or on YouTube, right? Wrong. I personally spent 2 days doing a thorough research to find truthful, honest, and detailed information or even analysis from content creators to see if anyone mentioned the ongoing war in South Lebanon between the Lebanese resistance, Hezbollah, and the Israeli occupation forces. And I honestly found nothing except a couple of Western social media influencers who actually tackled the issue. Here is our first expose voice for today, coming from Preston Stewart on TikTok, who gave a news brief of the situation in South Lebanon. Let us see what Preston had to say in specific about the firepower capabilities of Hezbollah.
So when we're looking at the threat that Hezbollah poses to Israel, the Hezbollah leader a few years ago said that they had 100,000 people in their military. That's probably on the high side. Most estimates I've seen are closer to the 50 to 60,000 range. But that's a pretty sizable force, right? I mean, Israel just mobilized their military and is saying they have 350, 360,000 ready to go. So you can't just brush aside 50,000 coming in from north, even on the low side. And that's not counting the reservists that could potentially join their ranks. Additionally, when talking about some of the Israeli strikes into Hezbollah territory there in the south of Lebanon, there's an increased risk of aircraft being shot down. So Israel has complete air superiority over Gaza. It's not really even contested at all. That's not the case when you start looking at Lebanon. Militant Wire did a great piece recently showing some of the Hezbollah military capabilities in that parade and in that military exercise. They were just showcasing their man pads, man portable air defense systems, and they got a lot of those. So no shortage of man pads. At the very least, Hezbollah has that capability. Now, there are some rumors about some other surface air missile systems that they may have. Now, if these were well known, I think Israel already would have tried to take these out, and they have tried to take these out at times in the past. But things like SA-17, SA-22, it's possible that Hezbollah has some of those. But either way, even if it's just the man pads, the threat to Israeli aircraft when they're moving north and engaging any targets in Lebanon is substantially higher than it is during the war over Gaza.
Another TikTok voice we will showcase here on Exposé is that of your favorite guy on TikTok. No, really, that is his username, that he posted a video about the war between Lebanon and the Israeli entity back in November, speaking about how Zionist Israel is bombing 4 countries at the same time. Here is your favorite guy.
In my opinion, I think that Hezbollah is going to get involved. Israel and Lebanon had a war in 2006 that killed 1,200 Lebanese people and 157 Israelis. On top of this, if we look to Syria, Israel's bombed Syria airports of Damascus and Aleppo like 2 times each since October 7th. Syria's 2 biggest airports. So right now we have Israel bombing Gaza Strip, the West Bank, Lebanon, and Syria. Four different places, 4 different areas. They really want war.
Now, some may ask, why are there not enough voices on the Western internet speaking up about the Zionist Israeli crimes in South Lebanon in specific? Well, the answer is in this intimidation message by the president of the Zionist Israeli entity himself, Isaac Herzog.
But the truth is that we are fighting a war for the entire universe, for the free world. I always say, if Israel was not there, Europe will be next. Because these barbaric jihadists want to get all of us out of the region and want to get all of Europe out of its place as well. And United States is next too. So this war is something of an essential element in the history of humankind.
So apparently, we here in Lebanon are barbaric jihadists that need to be eliminated. Typical Zionist demonization of an entire region is more than enough to make social media users hold back before commenting on Zionist Israeli crimes in my country, Lebanon. Ladies and gents, with that, we conclude our exposé for tonight. Stay tuned for more eye-opening investigations on Exposé. The truth is just a revelation away.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, always stay under control. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's an honor to be here at your service. Dear friends, we're talking about Islamic lifestyle, and this is A to Z. Now, we're talking about something that is incredibly important, and that is to always stay under control. Now, we know very well that sometimes staying under control is incredibly difficult, especially when we become angry or when our emotions or our desires end up controlling us. Now, right from the get-go, we have a very, very important point here, and that is that we must never allow our emotions and our desires to take the best of us, to control us, right? Now, when it comes to living in an Islamic lifestyle, of course, part and parcel with Islamic lifestyle is this idea of control. And now, let's not call it control, because sometimes, you know, it has a negative connotation to it, and it's like we are trying to, you know, curtail our freedom, and that is what control is. So be very careful with the way that people define these things, because they'll confuse you and they'll have you believing that self-control is bad and complete, absolute, barbaric, wild, and savage freedom is something that's good. In reality, when we control our emotions and our desires and our anger and our lust, it is in reality trying to achieve a higher level of balance and perfection, right? When you look at things like lust, carnal desires, anger, these kind of extreme emotions and extreme desires, none of them bring about any kind of a balance in ourselves, in our essence. And this is something that you can really feel. So, for example, when an individual becomes incredibly angry, you can very easily tell that there's no freedom in them becoming angry, and there is definitely no higher level balance when it comes to an individual who has, you know, completely lost their mind and they've gone incredibly angry. So controlling these kind of extreme aspects or these undisciplined, aspects, controlling them is actually bringing them into balance and bringing them into order. Welcome back. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So we are talking about always staying in control. And of course, the one thing that we have already learned is that staying in control is not something negative. It is actually something that is very positive. And another way of saying to stay in control is to stay in balance, is to find this peace and tranquility. Now, what things break that balance? What things destroy that peace of mind? Well, we kind of listed a lot of these kind of negative qualities, these negative dispositions, these negative faculties that are part of a human being but must remain in balance and must remain in control, which is the word that we are using. So, you know, to keep our passions under control, to keep our desires under control, to keep our emotions under control, to keep our anger under control, to keep it in balance. Now, this doesn't mean that these, you know, should not be a part of a human being. Anger is something which is necessary, but it must be controlled, it must be diverted, it must be used in a positive manner, right? Self-defense comes about via anger. Of course, this attraction for the opposite gender, this is something which is natural. It is a part of a human being, but the thing is to keep it under control, to keep it in balance, to keep it in moderation. And it is that balance which brings about ultimate peace and tranquility for a human being. Emotions are important. Desires are important. Passions are important. These different aspects of a human being are important. But the most important thing is to keep them in balance and moderation in order for them to be able to perform their functions properly, right? And it is only when a tree is given proper ground and nutrient and water and rain will it bear fruit. So that's there you have it, you know, always stay under control when it comes to our Islamic lifestyle.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Bustle of life. The sound of living. Only sound will endure. IRIB English Radio.
Nicaragua has asked the World Court to issue provisional measures against Germany for failing to prevent the U.S. Zionist regime's genocide against Palestinians in Gaza. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The Middle East Eye has covered this story and tells us more. Nicaragua has formally submitted an application at the International Court of Justice, the ICJ, at The Hague, Netherlands, against Germany, accusing the country of both failing to prevent a genocide of Palestinians in Gaza, but also of having contributed to the commission of genocide. In its request, Nicaragua asked the ICJ to declare that Germany has failed to uphold its obligations under the Genocide Convention to prevent genocide in Gaza, by providing support to Israel and by cutting funding to the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA. The application asked the International Court of Justice to adjudge and declare that Germany has violated international humanitarian laws, including its obligations under the Geneva Conventions of 1949 and the Additional Protocols of 1977. It also says the European country has failed to comply with other non-derogable international norms by aiding the Israeli regime's military occupation of Palestine, including the ongoing onslaught on Gaza. Nicaragua also called on the World Court to order Germany to halt its aid and support of the Israeli regime. In a press release issued by the Nicaraguan government, Managua said that Germany provided the Israeli regime with political, financial and military support, despite knowing that the military equipment would be used in the commission of serious breaches of international law. It also noted that Berlin cut off assistance to UNRWA, a move that followed the Zionist regime's baseless allegations that UNRWA staff members were involved in the October 7th events. Germany continues to disregard its obligations and to actively facilitate violations of the rules of international law by Israel, to the severe and immediate prejudice of the Palestinian people, particularly the Palestinians of Gaza, and the international community, the Nicaraguan government said in its statement. Middle East Eye reached out to the German embassy in Washington, D.C. for comment on this story. The filing comes after the Latin American nations sent a warning to Germany, the United Kingdom, the Netherlands and Canada, saying it would take the countries to the International Court of Justice, the ICJ, over allegations that weaponry they are providing the Israeli regime are being used in a genocide against Palestinians in Gaza. Nicaragua was one of several countries, along with Venezuela, Pakistan, Bangladesh, the Maldives, and Namibia, to support South Africa's genocide case against the Israeli regime in January of this year. The International Court of Justice delivered an interim ruling on South Africa's petition in late January, calling on the Israeli regime to refrain from impeding the delivery of aid into Gaza and improve the humanitarian situation there. It also ordered Israel to take all measures within its power to prevent acts of genocide in the besieged enclave and to punish incitement to genocide. Several Latin American countries have rebuked the Israeli regime over its assault on Gaza, which has now killed more than 30,000 Palestinians. Recently, after the Zionist regime forces opened fire on Palestinians waiting for aid in Gaza City, killing at least 115 people, Colombia's president announced that the country would be suspending its arms purchases from Israel. Brazilian President Lula da Silva used the word genocide to describe the Zionist regime's military campaign in Gaza, causing a diplomatic row with Israel's government. And just weeks after the Israeli regime began its war on Gaza, Bolivia severed its diplomatic ties with the child killer regime in protest.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Anshar Chavid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to travelers based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Anshar Chavid, let me start this episode with this question. A person travels as a preliminary to his job. Should he perform his prayer complete? Or does this rule apply only to someone whose job is traveling? What do the marajis, such as Imam Khomeini, mean by the phrase whose job is traveling? Is there anyone whose job is to travel? This is because the jobs of a shepherd, a driver, a sailor, etc., etc., are to look after the sheep or to drive or to sail, respectively, right?
Yes.
Basically, there's no one whose job is traveling as such.
Yes, I think he's right when it comes to traveling being one's job, because no one travels for the sake of traveling, okay? Mm-hmm. If you are traveling, you are actually going somewhere to do a job. So, according to Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, whoever travels as a preliminary to his job, preliminary means that, okay, he cannot do a job unless he travels. He goes out and covers a distance and then performs, does his job. So whoever travels as a preliminary to his job and at least once every 10 days goes back and forth between his home and place of work, such a person actually should perform his prayer complete, and his fasting is also valid. And the phrase, because you said that, okay, some Maraji has said that one whose job is traveling. So what does it mean, one whose job is traveling? Of course, His Eminence says that this very phrase mentioned by some of the religious authorities means someone whose job itself involves traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, the jobs mentioned in the question,
yeah.
Sellers or, you know, drivers and so on.
I see. Okay, there are people who take residence in a certain city or town for a period exceeding 1 year. Or the soldiers who have to reside in a city for 1 or 2 years in order to complete their military service. Or even students who apply for a university and for most of the time, actually, they go there to the university or they stay in a dorm for a couple of years to finish and yes. complete their studies, right?
Yes.
So they have to be there for a couple of years.
Sure.
Is it obligatory for these individuals to intend to stay there at least for 10 days after each trip or travel so that they can perform their prayers in full and fast? What rule applies to their prayers and fasting if they intend to stay for less than 10 days?
Well, this is a question which is very much frequently asked by people here and there. In the given case, His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei says that such people should say full prayer and fast also in that very city, in the city where which is supposed to be the city where they work, where they study, where they are doing their military services.
Mm-hmm, I see.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jad, hosting this program. And share so with our guest speaker, we are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to travelers based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Sheikh Javid, what rule applies to prayer and fasting of fighter pilots who on most days fly from their air bases and travel a distance much more than the Sharia distance and return again?
Mm-hmm. Well, the rule which is applicable to, mm-hmm. to, for example, to such pilots, it makes no difference whether they are fighter pilots or they are pilots, okay? So it is just the rule that applies to a car driver, a seller, or any other pilots. So during their traveling, they should pray in full, and their fasting is actually valid.
Mm-hmm, I see. Well, some tribes live in a winter resort for 3 or 4 months and in summer resort for the rest of the year, or vice versa. Are these two places considered their hometowns? When they are residing in one of them, they may have a trip to the other. How should they pray, or what happens to their fasting?
That's a good question. Well, if they intend to continue going back and forth permanently between the summer and the winter resorts, okay, and of course spend some days of the year in one and other days in the other, and of course and choose actually both places as their permanent settlements or for many consecutive years, then both places are regarded as their hometowns. And indeed, if the distance between one between the two cities equals or exceeds the legal distance while traveling from one hometown to another, their rule is that of the traveler. You know, in both cities, as long as they are in those cities, they should offer full prayers and they should observe fast. But when it comes to the distance between the two cities, it could be, for example, let's say 1,000 kilometers. It could be 100 kilometers or maybe 20 kilometers. If the distance is less than 22 or kilometers or 22.5 kilometers, then they should they cannot break their fast or shorten their prayers the distance. But when it exceeds this
distance limit,
okay, let's say it is more than 45 kilometers outward in return, okay, then in that case they should shorten their prayers while traveling from one city to other, to the other, from one town hometown to another hometown.
Shirtu, if somebody asked, I am an employee at a government office in a city and the distance between my workplace and residence is about 35 kilometers. Every day I travel a distance to reach my to my workplace. How am I to perform my prayers when I have a special assignment and intend to stay in the city, place of my work, for several nights? Is it obligatory to perform my prayer in full?
Well, if the journey is not for the sake of your job for which you travel daily, okay, the rule of traveling for work will not apply to it. So in that case, definitely he has to shorten his prayers. But if the journey is for the sake of the job itself, and during it he does other things in the place of his work, for example, such as visiting relatives and, you know, friends and hanging out with them, and sometimes he might stay there for one night or more than nights, for example, the rule of traveling for work will not change because of this, let's say, doing such activities which are not very much related to his job, okay? So because he visits his friends sometimes, and sometimes he goes out with his friends, so still he should offer full prayers and break his fast.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Shaweed. And thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to cover some of the jurisprudential laws related to travelers based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannan Kareemun Salamun Aleemun Malja ilaha illahum Ghaffarun Jameelun Wahhabun Latifun Tawwabun Samiun Basir ilaha illahum وحيد قدير محي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
Saint of the soil, from the blood and the ashes, it speaks with me the sound of the rain, from the battle and the victory.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
dozens more Palestinians fall victims to ongoing Israeli strikes on Gaza, raising the total death toll from the aggression to nearly 31,000.